Hi everyone, my name is Asher. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. Dylan, we're so glad you're here. Keep coming back. We're all the same. We all may look a little different and our stories may sound kind of different, but we all have that same soul sickness deep down inside. And, you know, every one of us understands what it feels like to be sick like that and to not know how not to live a certain way, but know that there's got to be something else. So I relate, and thank you so much for sharing your story. So my sobriety date is January 1st, 2013. So I had that last New Year's Eve party, and that was it for me. I started drinking when I was about 15 years old. That was the first drink I ever had, was on my friend's roof. We like snuck out of her room and we put towels underneath her door so that we could smoke cigarettes for the first time, because you know her parents were sleeping downstairs, and she had, I have no idea what it was, in like a Gatorade bottle, but we'd really taken shots of it, and it gave me like that warm tingly feeling, and I liked it. So after that I was on a mission to seek more of that. I remember I was babysitting one time and they had a full liquor cabinet. So I just went to like every bottle and just put a little bit in a Gatorade bottle. And I'm thinking about it now, and I'm pretty sure the bottles had a lot of dust on them. So like when the parents came home, they probably noticed that there were like fingerprints like all over each one, you know? So I had this really nasty Gatorade bottle of like, I think it was like Wild Turkey and like vodka and like just any type of liquor. I only took like a little bit out of each one so I could have a lot of a little bit of each. So I was so experienced with drinking, you know, I thought that would just be so fun. So I remember that it was a plan. We were gonna drink that Gatorade bottle, we were gonna go to the beach, and it was gonna be so fun. And we took a couple swigs and it was really disgusting, but I was like determined, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna keep drinking it, you know. So gross. I remember I smuggled it into school. This is high school. And I remember sitting underneath like these long desks in science class. I went to school in not very nice neighborhoods, so I really didn't give a crap what the students did. So nobody listened to the teacher or anything. We just did what we wanted to do. We were like sitting underneath the table and like taking shots, and I was like passing it along. Yeah, so I did that. I guess I can backtrack a little bit. I was born and raised here in Florida. I have two amazing parents. They still love each other very much. They still live in the same house that I was born and raised in. I'm a middle child. I have a big sister that's perfect. and I have a little brother that's the baby. So he gets away with everything, and my mom has always just mothered him, you know. So I was just like, what about me? I'm just like the middle child. Look at me, look at me. So my mom still to this day always asks me, is there something I did to make you an alcoholic? What did I do wrong? You know, and I always try to explain it to her. You know, I believe, this is just my opinion, I believe that we're born alcoholic. I believe that like our bodies like can't process it the way that normal people can, you know. I just know that when I put it in my body, I turn into a completely different human being. I do. I turn into this human named Trashera. And she does really mean things. She says really not classy things. I don't really know like what happens, but my friends used to tell me that like I would have a few drinks and then all of a sudden Trashera would just take over my body like I was like possessed. And they said it was like this look on my face. They're like, there she is. And I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, party on. And like I always knew that was gonna happen, and I knew something bad was gonna happen. But it was my escape. I was suffering from something deep inside of me, like this deep hurt pain. And I started feeling it when I was about 15. I don't know what it was. I honestly didn't know what it was. And I know what it is now. It's alcoholism. It's not having a higher power. It's searching for something else to make you, you know, not feel. And you know, when you're about 15, you start feeling a lot of things, and I didn't want to feel anything. So right after alcohol, I'd start experimenting with, you know, we started smoking pot. It just made me really paranoid, so I just went back to alcohol. Alcohol was always my thing. Tried a little, you know, ecstasy, did the whole rave scene, all that stuff. Yeah, that was just really crazy. Whew, I tell you, the coming down off that stuff, no thank you. So it was just easier, I guess, to get certain drugs at the time. I know this is an AA meeting, and I will respect that, but drugs are part of my story. When I was in high school, it was easier to get hold of drugs than it was alcohol, because, I mean, you had to be 21, and you couldn't just walk into a gas station and get alcohol, until we found a gas station on 19. And my girlfriend and I just walked in there and tried, and it was a hit. He let us buy Zimas. So we always went in there and we bought our little six pack of Zimas and our Marlboro Lights, and we were party on every weekend. So that poor guy. And then the word got out that he allowed minors to drink, to buy alcohol. So then it was like a thing. Like people would just go in and out from high school to this one gas station. So yeah, Zimas were really cool back then. So I went to Gibbs High School for, I studied opera, and it was very structured and, you know, drinking a lot and acting a fool and smoking cigarettes didn't really go with studying opera. So I quickly was like, I don't want to go to school anymore. I want to go back to Palm Harbor. So went to Palm Harbor High and soon found the kids that like to do what I like to do, you know. And at that point, I got my hands on a fake ID. And we were hitting Ybor City. And we were, you know, on top of the bars, and I was falling off. I would be like bruised from head to toe the next day. And I used to wear like these big boots, and like the next morning I'd be like, what the hell is in my boots? I'd have like all kinds of stuff in there. I don't know. I would just like grab things or like people's wallets. Like, I don't even know, just like random stuff. Just really weird. It was very strange. And I thought that if I wore, so I wore this pink wig out there, and I thought that if I wore a pink wig that no one would recognize me and that they wouldn't know me. So I would go out and I would be this crazy trash or a pink wigged fool, you know? And then during the week I was like, I'm Eshra. I don't know what you're talking about. That was Treasure. That's not me, you know? Because my friends would always have stories for me, and I'm like, I didn't do that. That was, you know, that was someone else. So I never took responsibility for any of my actions. I did not treat people kindly because I did not know how to treat myself kindly. I didn't realize until later when my sponsor brought it to my attention when I did my four step of how much self-love I did not have. And all of those things, that the situations that I would put myself into, very dangerous. Being drunk, you just have no inhibitions and you don't think about those consequences. You just find yourself in these strange homes with strange people, or walking down the street, channel side, with your high heels in your hand. The sun is coming up and you don't know what type of drugs you're on because you just don't remember. And that's where my alcoholism led me. That's where I was 5 years ago. And for some reason, when I would start drinking around that time, it started getting really bad, where other drugs were something that would always kind of come with it. And I don't know how, but I would get in a blackout, and then I would end up in some penthouse somewhere, and then I'd be looking over a balcony, like wanting to throw myself off of it. And I would come out of a blackout and I'd be like, oh crap, this is really bad. You know, I don't want to be here. Like, I knew deep down inside, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, this is not me, but I didn't know how to not do it. You know, like the type of people I surrounded myself around that time in my life were like, you're not that bad, we just have fun, you know? Like the next day, it would probably take me like 2 or 3 days to recover. Like I couldn't even get up to get myself a glass of water like a night after partying like that. You know, my health was going to crap and I was always sick. I was, you know, I always had like some type of like cough and like my, you know, I would lose my voice randomly, you know, bruises and like abrasions. One time I fell and all of the skin came off my knee. And I fell asleep with the sheets on my knee, and then in the morning I had to rip it off. I mean, just stuff like that, you know? And at the time you're laughing, oh yeah, it was a great night, you know? But looking back, like that's alcoholism, you know? We just don't take care of ourselves because we don't care about ourselves at all. I know that like here and there when I was going through some of those situations, every now and then I would get like a little glimmer of, I wonder what it would be like if I didn't have to go out and do those things. You know, I wonder if there was a different type of thing that people could engage in and have fun, or do people not drink? Because my mom would always tell me, you know, there's people that don't drink. And I'm like, yeah, right. Everybody drinks. What do you do if you don't drink? You know, like every single activity, the first thing my brain would go to, my crazy alcoholic brain, would be like, well, where's the alcohol going to be? And how am I going to get it? And am I going to have enough? And what if that person drinks my alcohol that I bring to the party? And you know, and I'm not going to be able to drink the way I want to drink. And it's just like, and it's like, it's just a crazy circus in my head, you know? And every time I was getting ready to go out knowing that Trasher was going to come out, my brain was just like, you know, you can do this, but then you can't do this. And it was just exhausting. It was exhausting. And I remember drinking on purpose because I wanted it to just shut up. Just shut up, you know? Just be quiet. And I, here and there, I realized that, like, okay, so my sister was, like, married, and she had this great husband, and she started having children, and I loved her children so much. But I knew that she was not going to let me around her children the way that I was acting. And that put a little seed in my head. Maybe you might want to try something different with your life if you want to be an aunt, if you want to be the type of aunt that you want to be. And I honestly think that at first, whatever gets you in these rooms, whatever gets you through the door, that's great. But when you get here, I honestly believe that if you're not doing it for yourself, that it may not work. That's just my opinion. But I do believe that my little nephews were one of the main reasons why I was like, I want to change, you know? And I walked in these rooms, and then I realized that not only just for them, but I decided I wanted to live. Because there were many times where I just didn't want to be in my own skin anymore. The pain was just too deep, you know? And it's a shame, I'm looking back. I mean, I was 15, I remember cutting myself and just weird shit. And I'm just like, for what? You know, but for what? So walked in these rooms, had a really bad New Year's Eve, 2012. Pretty much anything and everything that could happen to Miss Trashera did. And I just woke up, and I don't know why, but this time it was different. I just had enough. I had enough. I was laying on my apartment floor. I was thinking I was just going to die. I couldn't get any water for myself. I couldn't even, like, crawl. I was trying to place an IV catheter because I was so dehydrated, and I was blowing all my veins. And I was just, like, hopeless. I was hopeless. And I called one of the girls that I partied with the night before, and I was like, hey, you know, I think I want to kill myself. And she's like, oh, just order a pizza. You'll be fine. You know, and, like, that's the type of people I chose to, like, confide in, you know? So it got to the point where I was like, wow, Asher, you have, like, no lifelines anymore. You know, like, nothing. And my poor parents. I don't know why, but I made that phone call. And I was like, Dad, you got to take me to the hospital. And he's like, you're not going to the hospital. And I was like, no, I think, you know, I'm going to die. Like, I want to die. I don't want to live anymore. And he's like, okay, well, we're not taking you to the hospital. I'm coming over, you know. So he came over and packed all my stuff and took me back to their house. And he's like, when are you going to stop doing this to yourself? You know, he's like, you're 32 years old. He's like, what the hell? He's like, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to have a life. Like, don't you want to have a life? And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm exhausted. And he's like, we are not going to help you anymore. We are done. And my mom and my dad were like that, the last people that I could call, that I could go and be hungover on their couch for 3 days, you know, and sit there with my dog and feel sorry for myself and just tell them, oh, I have a cold, you know. This time, my mom, too, she was like, it's killing me to say this, but we can't help you anymore. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what I needed to hear. I needed someone to not enable me anymore. Because all these people that are enabling other alcoholics, active alcoholics, they're not helping them. And I didn't realize it until later. But I needed to have that tough love at that moment because that was it for me. And my dad's like, you know, you should really try this AA thing. And I was like, I'll try anything. And he's like, you should try that. I was like, no, Dad, I need to go to treatment. He's like, you don't need to go to treatment. He's like, it's really expensive. He's like, AA is free. And I was like, no, I need to go to treatment. I'm a mess. He's like, no, we'll pick out a meeting together. So we went online and picked out a meeting. And of course, I'm like, oh, I can't go where there's any boys, you know. I can't go where they smoke cigarettes. He's like, pick a freaking meeting, you know. And I'm like, okay, I'll go to that one. So I went, and I was scared. How much time do I have? Okay. I was really scared. I don't know what to expect. I've only known what we see, like, in stupid movies and, you know, Netflix. Of like, it's not like that, you know? And I walked through the door, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, I'm just sitting there. And, of course, I picked a women's meeting, so I felt a little more comfortable. I walked in the door, and they went around, and everyone had to say something. And I just, like, I can't live like this anymore. I need help. And then, you know, after the meeting, all the women came around and gave me a hug. And one girl, you know, gave me a book. And I was like, okay. She's like, read this and do this. And I'm like, okay. And she gave me like a list of a whole bunch of phone numbers. And I did. I called one of the ladies that, on the list, just like a random, just like, I'll just pick that one, you know, like. So I did. I called her, and she was really nice. I was just like spin-tailing, telling her all my drunkalogs, you know. And she's like, whoa, 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 hold on a second. She's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, well, I just got home from work. And she's like, you're going to a meeting. I was like, I just went to one. She's like, no, 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 no. Come on, let's meet up. She goes, because she kept telling me, she's like, well, you don't want to hang out with us old ladies. I'll introduce you to some of the, you know, girls that might be your age. And I was like, I'll hang out with anyone that doesn't drink. You know, I was just like petrified. Like, I didn't know how to like walk. I was like, oh my God, is there alcohol around me, you know? And so she took me to this meeting over at Palmacia. And what they did was they split everyone in the room. It was kind of like this when it started. And they split like little sections into different rooms, which made it a little more comfortable for me because it was only my second meeting. And there was like five people in each room. And the couple girls that were in the room, everyone like shared their story a little bit. And then at the end of the meeting, this one girl shared her story. And I just liked her. Like energy, you know, she was just really calm. I could tell she's been in the program for a while. She knew what she was doing. She was sober. She had like 5 years. I was like, whoa, I want that, you know? So I was like, hey, will you be my sponsor? She's like, yes. I'm like, really? You'll do that? And she's like, you have to call me every day. And I was like, well, I can text you. She's like, no, you have to call me. And I was like, damn. Someone tell me what to do, okay? I had no idea. She kicked my ass. But I needed that at that time. I needed someone to just put me under their wing and just be like, this is what we do to stay sober. You know, one day at a time, because I remember one of the first phone conversations I ever had with her, I was like, how the F do I tell my friends, you know, my drinking buddies, I can never drink ever again? She goes, no. That's too far in the future. You decide every day when you wake up, one day at a time, you're not going to drink. And I was like, I can do that. And she's like, well, maybe tomorrow you'll drink. She's like, but today you're not going to drink. I was like, I can choose to do that. She goes, yes, you can. So I started doing that. She told me to pray in the morning. So I did. She told me to read things, literature that she had. And I actually had an app where I read the all the little prayers that they have in it. I did that, and it helped. She also told me that the solution was helping others. I didn't think that I could help someone because I was just such a mess. And she goes, no. She's like, you can help someone just by asking them how their day is. So she had me call other women, which was terrifying, and ask them how they're doing so I can listen to their day and not think about my crazy self for 2 minutes. Whoa, pure bliss. Who would have thought something so simple really worked? So I was willing and I was open to her suggestions. I didn't always agree with her suggestions, but I did what she said, especially when it came to the amends part, because that was really hard for me. I had some very serious amends. Of course, I thought they were very serious to me, but then when I made some of them, the person would be like, oh, whatever, you know? So it's like whatever we make up in our heads usually isn't the scenario. It's not usually the case. So I made my amends to everyone that was on my list, especially one that was kind of funny with my brother. I sat him down and I was like, hey, bro, like, look, I'm not going to drink anymore. You know, I'm going to try to be there for you. And he's like, whoa, hold on a second. You're not going to drink alcohol anymore? I was like, no, I'm an AA, I'm sober. And he's like, dude, you're going to save so much money. And I was like, okay. Whatever, you know? He's like, cool, I didn't think you had a problem. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, stuff like that. You just never know. And my sister, I made amends to her because at her wedding, I was just drunk. And I didn't know how to be there for her. And she made her maid of honor. And I honestly, like, don't remember things. Like, there's, like, big chunks of, like, that time in my life that I just can't recollect. And my mom still is like, you remember that time we went and we did this? And I'm like, no. And she's like, where were you? I'm like, I don't know. And so I made my amends to my sister, and I was like, look, I wasn't there for you, and like this and that. And apparently she couldn't remember shit from that time in her life either, but she wasn't drunk. Haha, funny. Anyway, she just like had amnesia, and I was like, okay, great. You didn't remember how much of an asshole sister I was. And she's like, you're fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, okay, great. You know, I thought people were going to like beat me up. But there were a couple people that my sponsor made me contact on Facebook, which was so embarrassing. And like she said I couldn't just like internet amends. I had to like ask them to meet up, and like they did not respond like at all. So, but she said as long as I had the willingness, that's all that mattered. Because I was upset that some girls were like, no, I don't want to talk to you. But then she was like, well, you had the willingness if they accepted. And I was like, I was really nasty. It's probably a good idea that I don't. But anyway, God has a plan. You know, not necessarily it's what our plan is. So, all right, let's see. I made my amends. So the first year of sobriety was pretty tough for me because I found myself using my career as my higher power. I completely buried myself in my position. I was managing a medical center at the time, and it was very, very busy, surgical center. And I was like eat, sleep, and breathing it. I was still going to AA, but it was my higher power. I used it as my identity. And I got really sucked into that. And my sponsor would always tell me that, you know, ego's taking over. It's just a title. Like, it doesn't mean anything. When you die, you can't take that name tag with you. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, you know? But I thought that I found my passion in life. I thought that this is what I was destined to do. I was working nonprofit for, you know, spay neuter for animals. And, you know, I had my degree in vet med, and it was just like, I thought that was it. Like, I have arrived, you know, like I found it. And then it got to the point where it was taking over like my health and everything because I wasn't taking care of myself again. It was like alcoholism, but like workaholism. It was very strange. I got really thin, and I wasn't doing the things like self, you know, care that I should have. And I was dating someone at the time, and I also used them as like this makeshift higher power too. When you don't have something that's greater than yourself, from my own experience, I found that I have tried to use outside things like a career or a person. But it plainly says that no human power could relieve us of our alcoholism. So I had to learn that through my lessons of my life, through my journey. So that person that I was dating at the time, we had to break up for a little bit because I had to find a higher power. It was too much pressure for that poor person, you know? And I had to resign from my job because it got to a point where, I was thinking some crazy things, you know, not good things, like when I was using drugs and alcohol again. And it's crazy because I was sober the whole time. But I tell you, if you don't have a higher power and you're not working the program and actually working the steps and staying active, you can quickly go back to that loud, you know, just shut up. And so that's what happened. So I resigned, and then no higher power, completely left empty, just like, whoa, you know, dry as a bone. So what I did is I was hurting so bad and I didn't know what to do. And the sponsor that I had at the time, she moved and she told me I had to find a new sponsor. And I was like, oh my God, my safety net. You know, like, there's so many things that, like, it was just like boom, boom, boom. They say things happen in, you know, threes. And that's what happened. And so I quickly found another sponsor, and she was just like this angel that just like came down from the sky. She was like, oh, I'm here. And I just hit AA like I was a newcomer. Like, it was my first week. I went to like a meeting every single day. We started my steps over again. Thank you. And eventually I got not crazy again. I found a higher power. It still changes. My higher power today is different than it was back then. I think that was about my second or third year of sobriety at that time. But it's just, it keeps changing. And the more that I seek, the more that I find. And crazy that I got to a point where I was completely surrendered with just being where I was at, just being in the present. I was completely in acceptance of just being with myself and just, you know, going to AA and trying to help others and just get out of myself and just do what it says for the solution of alcoholism. And I finally just got to a point where I was at so much peace. I had a different job, and like, I just didn't use, I was just like, it's just a job. I just have to pay my bills, you know, like it wasn't a big deal. And then God decided that I was supposed to be back with that person. And I married him last weekend, and and if he was here, he would have made a really awkward laugh. I just, you know, Trashra was so effed up. And she was so mean, and I can't believe, you know, 5 years later that I'm actually a person that's capable of being present and showing up and having a healthy relationship. I mean, you know, with my mom and my sister and now a husband and, you know, just everything, and being able to, like, wake up in the morning and, like, thank something greater than myself that I don't have to use drugs and alcohol to get through the day. You know, that pain has been lifted. Like that pain that's in your chest and it like goes all the way down and it just physically hurts you. It's gone, you know? And yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like things are good right now and that scares me because when things are good, that's the furthest you are away from seeking God. And I had to, you know, tell myself a little bit and make a promise to myself to start meditating. And it's hard for me to sit quiet. But I started doing some guided meditations and it helps me. It really does. And sometimes I find myself too happy or too busy to go to meetings. And that's wrong. Because if you don't continue to have the opportunity to give back to someone else that was so freely given to you, you will not have it anymore. And that's how we stay sober, is that we show up for the new person. Because if that first sponsor that I had wasn't there at that meeting, and she wasn't able to have that opportunity to share with me what worked for her, I don't think I would be standing here today. So I have to remember that, and she was quite the role model. So anyone that's new, get a sponsor, get someone that is gonna be firm, don't get someone for stupid reasons, you know, get someone that you really see that you want what they have, when they have that peace and serenity, and ask for their help. Don't be too proud to ask for help, because that's the only way that we can heal, is if we ask for others, because I can't do this by myself. I need a whole village to help me stay sober. Thank you, that's all I got.